You're listening to healthradio.fm. I'm your host, Tamula McNabb. I have on the line with me today Jose Hendo, all the way from London, England, but you're in Vancouver for Vancouver Fashion Week. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Jose, no, I'm drawn to your story for obvious reasons, this being a health and wellness show. You are an eco-sustainable, totally cool designer. Tell us about what you do in your designs.
Thank you for that. Well, my path down this sustainable path was really just trying to go against throwaway culture, the fast fashion, and in some ways create something that was had substance within it and justify being in the fashion industry, because I really felt that in so many ways the fashion industry has a lot to answer for. And you can't really blame, you know, the people who've done fashion before, but it's just that's all they had to work with. But if we can make choices now that obviously create a positive impact on everybody around us, then that's even better. So by my choice to go against fast fashion and the throwaway culture, you know, I have ended up down the sustainable path, with eco-sustainable fashion being what I do stand for. And you can't then ignore the ethical side of things and
sure.
and all of that, really. And I am grateful that I found it when I did. And I could not imagine myself doing anything different now.
But you really are, it's all-encompassing, your belief in the work that you do. I mean, you can say, sure, she's following reduce, reuse, recycle, but you even take it one step further by using your bark cloth. And when I saw your fashions on the runway,
yeah.
it was hard to believe that what I was looking at was a cloth made from bark. Explain how the technique of using that particular material, and how is it made?
Well, the cloth that I do use is unique to Uganda. And I'm so lucky the fact that that is my heritage. I come
right.
originally from Uganda. And the cloth itself is from a mutuba tree. Now, the tree, when they do harvest the bark of the tree, will regenerate after months. And
oh, wow.
you can harvest again and again and again. And the process of making it hasn't changed for more than 600 years. It's a very natural process of making. There are no chemicals, nothing that will take away the purity from the garment. So it is organic. And because of the fact that the tree regenerates a new bark to be harvested,
right.
it now then becomes the best ambassador for sustainability. I could not, when I was blown away, I grew up around all of these things, but I didn't know, because they used to make tourist trinkets out of the bark, and they still
right.
do now. But we are bringing a whole new dimension. There were people working with it, making clothes, you know, garments out of it, not the way I'm trying to do it now. And I'm hoping that other young people, other young designers, will try and incorporate bark cloth into their usage in terms of making and creating garments, because there's something amazing about it. When you think it was one of the first clothes made by man, 700 years, and 700 years old tradition,
right.
you can't, it's staggering to think that man then knew the value of this, used it in every way possible. My parents were talking, you know, one thing that really amazed me when I went to talk to them about what I do just last year, for the first time I took my bark cloth home and I called it bark to the roots, because I've been working with bark cloth for more than 15 years. And
right.
it was my first time to take it to Africa to show what I do with it. And just sharing with my parents, and my mom said to me, she used it as a blanket when she was little. And my parents are in their 70s. My
right.
father, at that point, they both had never spoken about it between themselves. He also said to her, he used it as a blanket as a child. So bringing my parents to talk about something in their past they had never shared, that was a common thing.
Amazing, right? It's like in your backyard, yet it's not even a topic of conversation. So you're making it mainstream, and if any of our listeners wanted to go to your website, it's josehendo.com, and you have a whole array of shots from the runway using this fabric. And at first I thought it was felt when I saw it, but it certainly doesn't feel like it.
It's funny. It feels like felt. It depends on which side you work with it, because you can flip it and work on the underside, or work on the other side, which is quite tough and not tough in a bad way, but it's like a tough linen, or very resilient. So you can choose. I mean, the resonance is made from the soft side, so it looks like a felt. It looks like some people called it velvet before. But I was so grateful the way you introduced it. You did it justice, because people then knew what they were looking at.
They looked at it very differently. When people actually knew what they were looking at, they looked at it totally different.
Absolutely, and they appreciated it more rather than thinking, "Oh, it's just another velvet or leather." You know, because it does look like leather in some parts of it. So you really gave it a very, very good intro, and I'm so grateful for that, because after the show, people came up to me and they wanted to know more about it, and that's what I'm fighting for, to bring it back into the forefront of fashion. So we're selling this, we're using it as part of every collection. We do add it to the collection one way or the other, make accessories out of it. Today I'm going to be wearing something, an accessory or to a garment that's sort of made out of bark. And, you know, hopefully that will bring a whole other dimension to it. But it's just really trying constantly to innovate and find new ways of working with it within the constraints of obviously producing garments that are wearable.
Is it something that you see going mainstream down the road? Jacket, a coat?
This is it. Yes, it is. Yeah, because now I found that some Germans who are working with it in home furnishing, and some German designers who are working with it as well in terms of garment making. And in the UK, some other designers have taken it up. So it's growing. And I would love to bring it, you know. I know the Canadians are so passionate about the environment, and they're up there with the top cities in the world, you know, Vancouver.
Very much
trying
so.
To save the environment, you know, and I'm passionate about what you're passionate about here in Vancouver, and I loved it, and that's one of the reasons why I came to Vancouver Fashion Week. We only had 2 weeks to decide to come here, and I'm so glad I made the choice to.
We were very happy to have you. Now let's talk about the exciting side about what you do. You design for royalty. Let's talk about that. What's that all about?
Well, I've been so lucky that the last almost 6-7 years, I have been approached by the royal family in Toro, in Uganda, and they have come to me, the queen, the princess of Toro was getting married, and because I had designed for her sister and her aunties, and, you know, for her three aunties, I've ended up designing for the princess as well, for the wedding that she had 2 years ago. And it was an amazing experience, because here I am in London, England, and I'm not sure that anybody in Uganda knows what I do. And then I'm being approached by a princess needing a wedding garment. And that was an amazing experience. I had to fly the garment in. I did all the princesses who were her bridesmaids' dresses, and it was amazing, very, very grand occasion, and very humbling in a way, because it's just, because I always did wedding dresses, but I kind of went away from that because I wanted to do something more crazy. So I started down the path of the artist in me really expressing myself, and you cannot design, I do wedding dresses out of bark, but not the way you'd expect a wedding garment to be. It is my take on a wedding garment.
It's
so, yeah, that's
amazing.
Really an exciting experience, and I hold that, and I really appreciate, you know, having done that.
Well, I think you have an amazingly bright future, and I think that, you know, through shows like ours and you being on TV in North America and getting the word out, there are a lot of people interested in, you know, this area of fashion, and I think that, you know, because you're from London and because you've been designing for royalty and, you know, you're in Top Shop and you're in Selfridges, there's a sense of credibility behind what you're doing. And so I think
Thank
that, you. You know, what you're doing is and it's beautiful. Your work is absolutely beautiful. So if people want to get a hold of you, they can go to your website and they can reach you there. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You go to my website. You can send us an email through our contact page there, or you can send an email directly, and we'll definitely respond, and we'll always look out for, you know, people wanting to connect with us one way or the other. Another thing that I wanted to share with you is that more than a year ago, I started a campaign. I call it an R3 campaign. So it's R to the power 3, reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Right.
What it really is most people think, oh, it's just, you know, that the recycling thing, you know, just being environmental and all that in terms of household usage and things like that. No. When we work in the fashion industry or whatever industry you work, you have to be conscious about the choices you make. And my other campaign was to be very vocal rather than just make and people know, okay, she's an eco designer and that's what it is. No, I want to spread the word. So I do workshops. Some of them are free, but when they're productive, people come back to me and say, we'll pay for you to come and talk to our children, schools about it. So I have done school workshops where I teach children to upcycle, mend a shirt, tarnish a pair of jeans into a skirt, or make a jacket out of a pair of jeans, extend the life of a garment, because then when these young people take on board these values, they learn to appreciate everything around them. So it's a far-reaching effect when you teach people how to value everything within the environment, you know, and not just nature, but also the clothes we wear and the choices we make when we do buy. So the other campaign was me being very vocal about what I do in my business and in my own personal life. So,
you know, children are like sponges, too. You know, you teach them young to be handy. It goes a very long way.
This is it. Because that's how you tackle the throwaway culture. We have to stop it or try and stop it some way, one or the other. And that's how I found I could reach them, get them excited, because they love fashion. Most young people love fashion.
Sure, of course.
So if you teach them how to turn the buttons, change the buttons on their shirt, make their shirt more exciting, add things to their trousers, then they start, you know, appreciating when they do buy, they buy a garment that will last longer rather than buy something that will fall apart in two washes.
Right. Wonderful. Yeah. Jacehendo, thank you so much for being on our show. Again, your website is josehendo.com.
Yes.
Make sure you go see and look and see what she's doing. Good luck in your future. I look forward to seeing you again at Vancouver Fashion Week. Thanks, Jose.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Hamid. It's really lovely talking to you, and I loved meeting you yesterday, and I look forward to meeting you again.
Me as well. Thanks so much.
Thank you.